Again, it's very good to see everyone present with us this morning and to have this goodly number. We have a count of 68, and that is a goodly number to have with us this morning. Appreciate the scripture reading. I know you had to do a little turning there, Brandon, but I appreciate you doing that. I'm not using a PowerPoint lesson this morning. I'm going to try this off of my Bible software, and so hopefully this will work. I'll be happy to take feedback if this is effective for you or if it's distracting to you. Be sure and let me know after the lesson. Rather you wait till after the lesson if you don't mind. Because the main thing, of course, is teaching the Word. Entitled this lesson, You Are Loved. And I want to talk, first of all, about my work as a preacher. Sometimes there's great joy in being a preacher. And just as it was, as you look here in Acts 8 chapter, verses 35 through 38, when you can teach someone or see someone that is taught and they respond to the truth, just like what happened Friday whenever Faye responded to the truth and became a child of God and was baptized in remission of her sins. I know that Philip had to have joy in that, and being a preacher at that time and presenting the truth and seeing these things happen gives you joy. And it's a wonderful feeling to know that there are those that have given their lives to Christ and now they have the hope that all Christians do. There's also joy whenever a brother wanders from the truth, a brother or sister wanders from the truth, and it is brought back to the truth. Maybe they had been baptized many years ago, but for some reason they stopped serving God. And you go and you talk to them, or you bring lessons, and they respond, and they come back, and they realize that they need to be serving God again and to be with a local congregation working with them. And wherever that takes place, there's great joy that takes place. And we see that happening. We've seen it actually since we've been online. Folks that have asked for the forgiveness of their sins because they've not been living the Christian life, they've not been working with the saints, and they've been restored to us. And there's also joy whenever there are those that place membership with us. And we've had that happen this past week also with the Hills, who want to join in the work, just as I'm sure it was happy, an occasion, a joyous occasion there at Antioch whenever Barnabas went and found Saul, who of course would later become Paul, and brought him to Antioch. And he became a member of that congregation there in Antioch of Syria. There's great joy when these things take place. And it gives the preacher a good feeling, as though his work is meaning something. And I'm not saying that I caused any of those things, but I'm saying maybe in teaching the truth there was some influence there. I just don't know. But still, there's great joy. Sometimes, though, there is a burden in being a child of God, a preacher of the Word. And we see that word burden used quite often in Scripture, and especially in the Old Testament. And that word burden has a meaning, of course, in the general definition of that term: a load, bearing, tribute, burden, lifting. But it also, as you look back, there it refers to the utterance, the oracle, or the burden of sometimes teaching people the truth, even though they don't want to hear it. And we see that really, that which is more in the negative aspect, when we look at the account of Simon the sorcerer, where he offered to pay the apostles money for the power of passing on the miraculous gifts through the laying on of hands. And it was not a joyous thing to do, but Peter had to tell him the truth. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that if possible the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you're in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of deceit. Those are not joyous occasions, but those are needful occasions. And the reason being is that the preacher of God's Word has instruction that is given to him through God's Word. We see that in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 2, where Paul tells Timothy, preach the Word. And I'll tell you that there are congregations where men stand up that carry a title of preacher or minister, which really they have no right to because they are not preaching God's Word. They're preaching their own thoughts and ideas. They are preaching a feel-good message that has nothing to do with what Paul goes on and says here, be instant in season and out of season. That is, whether people want to hear the truth or don't want to hear the truth, you preach the Word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That was a prophecy of what is taking place right now. And so even though there is times of joy and teaching and so forth, and we always want to be built up and lifted up, and there always to be joy, sometimes there has to be things that are presented from God's Word that are in the negative. And so the preacher has instruction. He doesn't have a choice, and as a true preacher of God, does not have a choice of leaving off those things that need to be heard, that people need to hear. But I want this congregation to know, I want everyone to know, that all of you are loved by me. And if you've been listening to any of my preaching for any length of time, you understand that there are positive things that I bring out, there are negative things that I bring out, and I pray, just as Paul mentions in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verse 15, that I always present the truth in love. If I'm not doing that, I'm not truly doing the work of an evangelist. For the purpose, as Paul goes on and says, that we may grow up in him that is in Christ, in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's the purpose of the preaching of the gospel. It should be the purpose of every preacher. It shouldn't be that he stands at the back of the building in order for somebody to walk out and say to him, oh, what a wonderful sermon. If it is from God's Word, it's going to be a wonderful sermon. If it's truly preaching the Word of God, it's going to be a wonderful sermon. It's not about the delivery. It's not about the preacher himself. That is meaningless. But God's Word is presented. And even in those things that are negative, if it is presented with love, speaking the truth in love, I pray that everyone has this understanding that I'm not your enemy. And I pray that I'm not your enemy whenever I present something that may affect you, something that is lacking in your life. I've had people come out and tell me, well, you were preaching right to me. And sometimes they were right, and sometimes I never had them in mind. But either way, if the truth is being spoken in love, I pray that I'm not your enemy, because I love each and every one of you. And with that thought in mind, and me telling you again, you are loved, we need to talk. We need to talk about a word of admonition about our worship. And especially in this situation where we are worshiping online. You know, worship for some is place dependent. There are those that teach a doctrine that you should not worship inside a building that is set apart just for the purpose of a church building for people to meet in and to worship. That's just not the right thing to do. You need to be worshiping in a home. Well, then that makes it place dependent. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. I'm afraid that for some, worship is an opportunity to put on a pious look and come and be around people. And I think back to the Jews that did that quite often whenever they fasted. They put on that disfigured face to let everybody know the such pain that they were in and how pious they were. Others come and worship, and worship is really not the right word. They gather for a social gathering. And that's not what worship truly is. It's not a social gathering. It's wonderful to be around one another. Let me tell you, Friday, with the 9 people, I believe it was, that was there. And wherever Faye was baptized, it was wonderful to see people again in the flesh. And it was wonderful to sing some songs and voices joined together that way. That was wonderful. And to for prayer to be offered, and that was wonderful also. But it's more than a social gathering. And it certainly is not coming together to be entertained. Not at all. And that is what so many churches are involved in. Even churches that meet in buildings that have Church of Christ on the outside, they're involved in entertainment. Others come together to just be in the crowd. Number matters. As a matter of fact, I'm afraid that some go to large congregations to be lost in the numbers and really not enjoying themselves to the work. Or others attend very large congregations because they feel they are in the in crowd. And that's not the proper attitude in worship either. We understand the proper attitude of worship when we look over in John the 4th chapter, verse 23 and 24. As Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. And remember, the woman had said in verse 21, as we look up here, in verse 21, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." She had said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain there in Samaria where they were. But you say in Jerusalem is where men ought to worship." And Jesus said, "No, the hour is coming that's neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem." What he's saying is that the importance is not going to be put upon the place. But rather, you worship what you know not. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But here, especially in verses 23 and 24. "But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." That is where our focus must be. Not about place. Not about crowds, not about gatherings, not about any of that, but rather worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And I'll tell you, we have a unique situation in meeting online right now as we are. And we really have to be disciplined in order to be pleasing to God's will in the worship that we involve ourselves in. And what we must do in this worship, as it states in Ezekiel the 44th chapter in verse 23, is make a difference, a distinction in what we do while we are together worshiping God on the first day of the week and when we come together on Wednesday also, so that we are distinguishing between that which is commonplace and that which is holy, just as it says here in Ezekiel 44 and verse 23. "You will teach the people the difference between the holy and the common and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean." We take the principle that is presented here and we think about that in connection with worship. And again, it's very pertinent in the situation that we are in because we're not sitting physically together with one another. And because that takes place, it may be that we are lackadaisical in spiritual worship because we're not looking at the things that are unseen, but rather the things that are seen and that we're not together physically. And that's exactly opposite, of course, of what we talked about in our class this morning, the way that we serve God. We must make the distinction of what we do when we come together. There has to be a distinction that now, even though I'm sitting in my house, I may be in my kitchen, I may be in my office, I might even be in my bedroom, it's going to be different than it usually is. It's going to be a spiritual worship that I offer before the Lord. And you have brethren with you, but I'll tell you, the real thought here is about worshiping God, and that is an individual thing. And what we must not get caught up in, as Amos says in Amos the 6th chapter, verse 1, "Woe to them that are ease in Zion, and to those that feel secure in the mountain of Samaria, and the noblemen of the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel comes." They were at ease because they were members of God's body. And I understand that's under the Mosaic Law, but let's make application to that today. at ease. Well, I'm a member of the church. It doesn't matter about my worship so much. I can sit at home. I can be in my shorts. I can be doing other things. I can even be eating my meal. If the sermon runs long, I'll just go ahead and start eating my common meal. No, we're in a worship service before God. We can't be ease in Zion because we're members of the church. And again, that same thought as we look in Jeremiah, the 7th chapter. In verse 4, do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. In other words, I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm a Christian. I belong to the church of Christ. That's where my rest is. That is where my confidence is. Remember what John the Baptizer said to the Jews that come to hear his preaching. In Matthew, the 3rd chapter, in verse 9, do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. He's telling them, don't have confidence in the things that are of the flesh, but rather, as he says, going on down to verse 10, even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He's saying, those that do not do the Lord's will and worship in spirit and in truth in the application of the lesson that we're given is cut down. And so our confidence cannot be an unfounded confidence just based upon a relationship with a congregation or a brotherhood, so to speak. And brethren, as I present these admonitions to you, I want to remind you once again for you to know that all of you are loved. And remember the statement that is made, rather speaking the truth in love, and that's where this is coming from this morning, to make sure that we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And I want you to understand that this is being presented in love. And at the same time, I ask you the question, as we see Paul ask in Galatians 4 and verse 16, am I your enemy then by telling you the truth? I pray not, because this is from God's word. I remind you again, you are loved, but we need to talk. A word of admonition about our spirituality. Is it founded on presence? Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he says in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, beginning in verse 12, and we go down through verse 15, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, what difference does it make if I don't dress? I can just keep my video turned off. People can't see. They would never know. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. But Paul is telling them here, just because I'm absent, you continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You continue to work through to the end in serving God. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And we are in that world today, where people don't make a distinction, and they put on airs, rather than truly serving God, because they think the presence doesn't matter. Well, let me tell you, just as the psalmist says, in Psalm, the 139th chapter, in verse 7, he says, where shall I go from your spirit, speaking to God? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take wing of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light shall be night, even in darkness, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light to you. What he's saying is there, we are ever in the presence of God. It really doesn't matter if we can see you or not. God knows whether or not you are truly worshiping in spirit and in truth, whether or not you're counting on the presence or the absence of someone to worship. Know this, God is always present. Our spirituality, is it just lip service? Jesus made accusation against the Jews in Matthew, the 15th chapter, verse 8 and 9. Says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. they were saying things that sounded good, and I'll tell you, there are those that call themselves Christians that can talk the talk of a sound child of God, but rather they honor Christ with the lips, but their understanding and their heart is far away from the Lord, because they trust more in the outward than that which is spiritual. This morning when you came together, was there a purpose of you coming together in connection with sacrifice? 2 Samuel 24 chapter verse 22, "Then Araunah said to David, 'Let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him.'" David is on the run and he is in the land of Araunah the king. "Said, and the king said to David, 'Here are the oxen for burnt offering and the threshing sledges and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. All this, O king Araunah, gives to the king, gives to you, David.' And Araunah said to the king, 'May the Lord your God accept you.'" And notice what David said in verse 24. David said to Araunah, "No, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offering to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And there he built the altar to the Lord and offered the burnt offering and the peace offering. So the Lord responded to the plea for the land. The point from this particular passage of Scripture is, we all recognize when we're at the building, there's some sacrifice that takes place in us getting ready in the morning and driving to the building and giving up our time and so forth and then driving back. We understand it takes gas money. We understand that. It takes discipline of time to be prepared and ready in the morning to go and to worship the Lord, to get ourselves dressed and to do all those things. We understand the sacrifice that is there. Are we lacking and slacking from doing that same sacrificial worship to God just because we're online? If we are, we're not worshiping in spirit and in truth. We are taking our ease in Zion, is what we're doing. We're trusting upon, "I'm a Church of Christer," rather than being a true child of God. And that every aspect of our worship, when you came together this morning, there should be with the thought of sacrifice in worship, because all worship entails sacrifice, every bit of it. And I pray that you purposed in your heart to get up this morning, to dress yourself and to come, and to have things different. Even though you're sitting in your own home, it is different. And I'm now involved in the worship of God, and it's going to be sacrificial. And I'll go the extra mile to make that so. I'm not going to sit around just in my normal clothing. And let me just say that real quick about that, so there's not a misunderstanding. Some of you have just gone through surgery, and some of you are fighting some medical conditions right now, and I understand very well that to get completely dressed up as you usually would have been very, very hard this morning, and it's not even expected. I'll just say it openly and honestly. I'm not talking about those that have medical conditions or have just gone through surgery and are recovering. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to us, the rest of us, that can make this worship sacrificial, and we can come before the Lord and we can involve ourselves in the worship of God, making a distinction in what we are doing, even by the way that we are dressing. We're still giving God the honor in the way we present ourselves. I can't see anybody right now. But let me ask you, what you have on, and I'm not talking to those that have just gone through surgery and are recovering at home or have conditions that they are fighting right now. We understand your plight. I'm talking to the rest of us. What you have on right now, would you come to the building in? And if the answer is no, be sacrificial. Be sacrificial and get up and get dressed. And be prepared to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I'm not talking about a three-piece suit. I'm not talking about an extravagant dress. I'm not talking about that. But be dressed properly for worship. And I want all of you to know that these points that I make to you because I love you. And I'm doing my best to speak the truth in love, because I'm going to God's Word and making application and principle from it. And so I want you to understand that I don't want you to be my enemy. And if I am, the problem is not mine, it is yours. You're loved, but again, we need to talk. I could proclaim peace and safety for all in the way that I preach and teach. Paul talks about this to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2 and 3. I could just say it really doesn't matter how we worship. If you come online, we get to count up 68 people, and then we can stick a feather in our cap that we had 68 people present online, and how wonderful that is. It really doesn't matter about your spiritual condition. Peace and safety to all because you tuned in. No. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying there is peace and security or safety. Then sudden destruction will come upon them as the labor pains come upon the pregnant woman, and they will not escape. There are those that will give that peace and safety and overlook everything else as far as teaching that which is spiritual from God's Word, preaching the Word. They'll overlook everything else. It doesn't matter. And especially in today's world, if you'll just give a few dollars or several hundred dollars or whatever it is you can give, it'll be fine and you'll never have your feelings hurt. Now, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just trying to present the truth. And if that hurts feelings, I want you to know it's from love. And I don't want you to be my enemy, but if I am, well, then that is something you need to work on. You see, I can't tell the lie that there are those that tune in, or rather enjoin themselves to this online service, that are not in peace and safety. They stand in jeopardy because they're not serving God. They stand in jeopardy because they're not part of a local congregation to do the work of the Lord. But I'll tell you my desires for everyone to be in peace and safety. First of all, starting with those that are not Christians. And Paul says this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. And I pray that is what has taken place this morning. I will tell you that has been my intent. And if my speech and my demeanor has been otherwise, I ask you forgiveness. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. They may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. That's the purpose of teaching. My desire for those that are not Christians, that you would come and listen to God's word and then become a child of God, just like we had one do on Friday. What a blessed event that was. And I pray that there will be peace and safety to those that this morning hear God's word and realize that, yes, I was baptized at one point in my life, but I've turned from the Lord. I've not been serving with Him. I've not been meeting with the saints. I've not been involved in the work. And Paul says here in Galatians 4, chapter and verse 9, but now that you have come to know God, you were baptized for remission of your sins, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? And that is really your condition. If you're not serving God, you're back to being a slave of the world rather than a servant of the Lord. I want everyone here to be accepted by the Lord. When we look at that passage of Scripture that Brandon read for us, we go back to Matthew 22, verses 11 through 14. And there you have the wedding feast. Those that were originally bidden to come to the feast refused. And so then the master sent out to the highways and byways to invite people to come in. And it says, those that came in then in verse 11, when the king came in to look at the guest, he saw that there was a man with no wedding garment on. He was not attired properly. He did not have the proper garment on. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. I want everyone to be accepted, but we must put on that spiritual attire, the spiritual garments to serve God. It doesn't matter if it's at home or we're sitting inside a building that has Church of Christ on the outside. Our worship must be worship in spirit and in truth. And I'll tell you, there's another aspect of this, and that is what we get out of our worship. And our worship didn't begin just with the prayer and the singing of the songs and the delivery of this sermon and what we're about to do in partaking of the Lord's Supper and purposing our giving. That's not just the word. It began this morning also when we went to God's Word and studied together. And if those lessons that we give in our class, not because I'm teaching them, but because they're from God's Word, if they are not benefiting us, we need to look at ourselves. And we really need to worship God in spirit and in truth, because this comes from God's Word. It is being spoken to you in truth and in love. And I pray that I'm not your enemy in bringing this. I'm not, because I want you to always know I love each and every one of you. I love your souls. And I want each and every one of us to have the hope of eternal salvation with the Lord when this life is over. Now, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. And we see that when we look in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones — he's talking about Christians — are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I want you to look there, because he says not only spiritual sacrifices, but spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. And when we look at that thought there, we could think back to Malachi, who was offering up the halt and the blind and the imperfect sacrifices to God, giving them giving him the dregs and the leftovers of what they had, and saying, God, take it and like it. And the same thing with our spiritual sacrifices today. They need to be acceptable to God, that is, in spirit and in truth, and not say to God, look, I'm going to sit here in my short pants, and I'm going to worship God as I'm drinking my coffee or whatever it is. I'm going to do that. And Lord, you're just going to have to like it. No, it needs to be in spirit and in truth. And we must not play church. We must not do that. That's not what this online assembly is about. It's about worshiping God in spirit and truth. I tell you, we must not start a movement either with this online assembly. I pray one day, and I pray that's going to be soon, it's going to be up to the elders on that. We're going to follow their lead, that we're going to be getting together once again, at least in some way, at the building and worshiping God together there. I think we all understand the importance of that. But let's not start a movement also. Let's not start a movement and say, you know, this is going really well. Let's just do it this way. And it may be a large movement, or it could be a social movement, because I don't know what the elders are going to do. Maybe they're going to say, we're going to do both. We're going to meet online sometimes, and we're going to also meet at the building at times. Don't let it be a personal movement where you say, well, you know, this is so easy, I'm just not going to go to the building. I'll just wait until it comes online. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. I want you to know you're loved, and the presentation is being made from the standpoint of love. Don't let me be your enemy because of that, because these are not my words, these are the words of the Lord. You're loved, but we need to talk. Our worship must be holy, and that's W-H-O-L-L-Y. And what I mean by that is that, just as Jesus said in Mark 12 and verse 30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Our worship must be that way. All of ourself, and not just on Sunday morning and not just on Wednesday, but we make a distinction day in and day out between that which is holy and that which is common. Our worship must be ordained. That is, after the pattern that God has made. Hebrews 8, chapter verses 5 and 6. They serve a copy talking about the things of the Mosaic law, in the tabernacle, and shadow of heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent or the tabernacle, he was instructed by God, saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mount. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. So the things that we do here, we enter into our worship that which is ordained by God. and that we have reverence in our worship. As we see in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 16, Paul says there, "For this reason I bow the knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being." That is that reverence that is seen in our worship. And when we come online, even though we're not looking at one another, even though we're not sitting beside one another, still there is reverence there in bowing the knee before God and going back once again in our worship to that which is sacrificial. And when we look at what Paul says to the Romans there in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It is a reasonable service for us to be sacrificial in our life and in our worship to God. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God," by the way that we worship Him, by the way that we live. It is reasonable because Christ Jesus gave His life for us. But also our worship is heart-worthy. In 1 John 3, verses 18 through 21, John says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." All John is saying is really the very thing that Jesus said. "God is spirit, and they that worship Him shall worship Him in spirit and truth." But then he says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things." And what he's saying here is that we have the revealed word of God that is given to us. If our hearts condemn us, God's word is greater. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. In other words, we are heart worthy toward God in our worship. But also that our worship is instant. And what, of course, I refer to here, going back to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, be instant in season and out of season. It doesn't matter if it's preaching the word. It doesn't matter if it's every aspect of worship. We are to be instant in this, whether in times that are good or times that are bad. Let me tell you, we're going through some bad times right now, but it can always get much worse. And if we're not disciplined enough to be instant in our worship now, what will happen when times get worse? If we're not truly worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, what would happen when times are worse? But our worship also must be pure. And we see that in 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and does not it yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every man that has this hope, that is seeing the Lord as He is and being with Him, purifies himself even as Christ is pure." We purify ourselves in order to be with the Lord when this life is over. Let me ask you, is this your worship? I want you to know and never forget, each and every one of you are loved. And this may have touched some of you, but it is being spoken out of truth and love, and I pray that it's not been taken as me being an enemy to you, because it is out of truth and love that I present these things. We cannot become lackadaisical in our worship just because we are not at the building, just because we're not seeing one another. We still worship in spirit and in truth. And so if you will, please respond to the truth that I promise you was presented in love this morning. There was no animosity in my mind or in my thoughts. Pressed my point, I pray I did, from God's word. Animosity, absolutely not. With patience, absolutely. With love, absolutely. If you're not a child of God and you want to be baptized for remission of your sins, you had a good example that was set Friday by Faye Inman in her doing that. She came and she confessed the name of Christ Jesus, and she was baptized for the remission of her sins. And there were 8 of us that met at the building to assist her in her obedience to the Lord. And what a blessed event that was. But maybe you once were baptized, but you've not been worshiping God. You've not been with the brethren. You've held back from joining yourself with brethren and from worshiping God the way that you should. return to Him. Ask forgiveness of your sins. We will pray with you and for you. And we've had some do that since we've been online, and we have prayed with them and for them. And it is such a glorious thing, and it reminds me, of course, the parable of the sheep. The one that was lost, that was found and brought back, and more joy is in heaven over one that is brought back than the 100 than the 99 that are safe. And we'll pray with you and for you, and the Lord will forgive you, and your mind will be at rest, and you will be at peace with the Lord. Contact one of our shepherds if you cannot get a hold of them. Contact our deacon or call myself or any member. Maybe you are a child of God, but you are not associated with the congregation this morning. And if you feel as though you can do that, we certainly welcome you. And we would like for you to talk with the elders, the shepherds of the congregation. Talk with them and tell them you'd like to join in with this congregation and to work with this congregation. We had that happen this past week also, and what a glorious event that was with the Hills. How wonderful that was to have them come in and say, we want to worship with this congregation. And whenever we're offline, we look forward to seeing them wherever that time is, where we can hug them and shake their hands and tell them just how blessed we are. And we look forward to their support in the work that we do here at this congregation. If that is your case, we'll make it known that you'd like to become a member of this congregation. We must worship God in spirit and truth. We cannot become lackadaisical. And again, I say that out of love. I say that to make each and every one of us think that even though we may be sitting here alone, we're truly not alone, because the Lord ever sees what we are doing. And so as we end this, we're going to be singing a song. And I'm going to pull that up on the screen, this invitation song, and it is 6 verses. I realize that. But I want you to look at this, and especially for those that maybe were Christians, I think this is a song that has an aspect that could be pertinent to your situation. I wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. Let that be your attitude. The paths of sin too long I've trod, Lord, I'm coming home. I wasted many precious years, now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin and straying. Lord, now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. My only hope, my only plea, now I'm coming home. That Jesus died and died for me, Lord, I'm coming home. Let those words sink in if you're in the situation where you are not serving the Lord properly. Let this truly be a song of love expressed to you, not only from the Lord, but also from the brethren that meet at the South Loop Church of Christ. And that we urge for you to come back to the Lord. At this time, then, we will turn the service over to Brother Warren to direct us in the singing of this song.
I want. Oh.